Kwaba, Akabo, Jambu, and hello again, Bagless Africa.
It's the end of another week, which means it's time for Sats and Gwe. We bring you weekly updates and recaps of some of the most significant crypto and Web3 headlines about the African continent and sometimes from across the globe. I'm Miss Purple.
And I remain Nike.
Your favorite decentralized reporters from Africa.
It's a beautiful morning, and we're taking a deep dive to see how the markets are doing today. Again, like we'd always say, the true value of any of these projects or their real life use cases lies beyond what the financial market says they are worth. And it's always best to look at what good these projects are actually doing. Bitcoin currently sits at a value of $25,790.34, slightly down from its $26,000 mark from the past week. Ethereum currently still sits at the $1,800 mark. The Matic token currently sits at $0.90. And the Bank token currently sits at $0.003809, slightly down from its value last week at $0.0044.
And getting straight into the national currencies, to reiterate what Nikki already said, sometimes the numbers don't fully translate into exactly what's going on the ground, but sometimes the numbers are a horrifying reflection of what's happening on the ground. So always use your discretion and do more research if you're perhaps interested in being involved either in a market or in a specific economy. Now, with the Ghanaian cedi, it's currently sitting at 11.30 cedi to the dollar, down by 0.98% from last week's 11.19 cedi to the dollar. The Nigerian Naira is currently at 464 Naira to the dollar, down by 0.43% from last week's 462 Naira to the dollar. The Lesotho Luti and South African Rand are doing relatively okay, currently sitting at 18.71 Rand to the dollar, up by 4.1% from last week's 19.51. And I think it's worth mentioning that sometime last week, the South African Rand reached its record low, actually, after rates have been increased, the highest they have been in the past 14 years. So that's worth keeping an eye on. The Kenyan shilling is at 138.94 shillings to the dollar, down by 1.03% from last week's 137.52 shillings to the dollar. And last but certainly never the least, the Central African CFA franc is at 609.31 franc to the dollar, up by 0.36% from last week's 611.53 franc to the dollar. And with that, we're going to get straight into some of the headlines that we found to be of particular interest from last week's episode of Sats and Gwe. And my particular favorite was that 7,000 Kenyan farmers have been able to recover millions of their funds in a new crypto insurance venture. I think that is pretty exciting. But of course, to hear more on that, be sure to listen to last week's episode of Sats and Gwe.
And the headline which I found particularly interesting from last week was the headline about a Nigerian crypto company that has had to suspend withdrawals over BTC and Naira compromise. And that company is Patricia, a leading Nigerian gift card and crypto trading platform. And, you know, time and time again, we've seen very many instances of companies that have been breached, assets have been lost. And I feel like these things are probably never going to stop. Cybersecurity is always going to be a thing of concern in the financial space, in the blockchain space, and everywhere else. Are we always going to have people who are going to try and steal data or steal assets? But I feel like what would always matter is how efficiently the leaderships of these companies are able to handle those situations and ensure that customers bear the least risk. And that brings us to a wrap up of our headlines from last week. We're moving on to headlines for this week with Emergo Africa set to unveil Africa's first State of Web 3.0 in Africa report.
Now, since the introduction of Web3 in Africa, for which there is no exact date, the technology has so far experienced exponential growth. It has the potential to significantly alter a number of industries, and that includes trade industry, lending and financial services, supply chain management, and the delivery and accessibility of healthcare. a report which will attempt to provide insights about the far-reaching effects of Web3 in Africa, is being put together by Emerger Africa and is set to be released on the 23rd of June, 2023. The research will concentrate on the quickly changing Web3 technology landscape in African nations, delivering a detailed analysis of their impact, their prospects and difficulties, as well as suggestions for promoting growth and increasing impact. Now, the elements of Web3 that are taken into account include decentralized finance, that is DeFi, blockchain technology, blockchain identification, smart contracts, and security. They will also highlight problems including the inadequate accessibility of technological infrastructure, i.e. computers, phones, any other devices, the internet. In the words of Ahmed M. Amir, the CEO of Emerger Africa, and I quote, "The future of Web3 technologies in Africa is bright, with the potential to drive unprecedented social, financial, and economic development across the continent," end quote. I have to say, I am thoroughly looking forward to this report. I think we can learn a lot from it, perhaps, but also, once again, always take everything with a grain of salt, you know, because there is no way you can get every single detail and every single thing that you want to get in all the states, in all the countries of the African continent. So there will always be some countries that are perhaps not included in the stats. It may make a difference. Sometimes it may not make that much of a difference. But once again, always take everything with a grain of salt. But I am most definitely looking forward to seeing what this report has, especially because we don't get a lot of reports coming out of the continent. So especially ones that, you know, are mainly focusing on Web3. So stay tuned on what that will be on, or rather what the actual facts will be in that particular report coming on the 28th of June 2023. Moving on to our next headline, decentralized wireless network operator World Mobile is set to launch an African expansion.
Now, for everybody who doesn't know, World Mobile is a decentralized wireless network operator, and is on a mission to provide decentralized internet to, well, pretty much the whole world. Now, in order to get closer to a full deployment across the African continent, World Mobile, on the 8th of June, has announced that field tests of its decentralized wireless technology, or DY, have been completed in Kenya, Mozambique, and Nigeria. Now, according to the business, the experiments in Kenya and Mozambique were carried out using TV white space technology, which makes use of a sparsely used spectrum in the TV broadcast band to offer mobile network services. Now, the startup wants to bring consistent and affordable internet connectivity to underdeveloped rural areas. The tests, and I quote, "validate the feasibility and scalability of our DY technology, bringing us to one step closer to providing affordable and dependable internet access to both rural and underserved areas worldwide." Now, this is according to the CEO of World Mobile, Mickey Watkins. Now, the blockchain-based World Mobile platform aims to open up access to the $1 trillion global telecom market, a global community-owned wireless network that can close the digital divide and promote social and economic inclusion, is what the firm aims to build. Now, again, I think this is pretty much the first time I am hearing of, blockchain technology in telecoms. Although over the course of the past week, I did read about a new, some company called Helium that already has, you know, a phone called Helium Mobile, that already has, you know, decentralized 5G networks, you know, like help people communicate and connect to the internet and all that. But I think this is the second instance I'm hearing ever of Web3 in telecommunications, allowing people participate actively in the Web3 and blockchain space through telecoms. And I think this is pretty great, especially with the fact that they are targeting underserved areas, underdeveloped rural areas, because we know that the digital divide in most of these areas is wide. I mean, the difference between the cities and rural areas is a lot. I mean, there's a lot of infrastructure that you could get living in a city that they probably are still many decades away from getting in the rural areas. So I think it's great for the sake of inclusion that many of these initiatives are being targeted at rural areas. And I feel like it's definitely going to play a huge part in bringing the entire community of Web3 people and, you know, the whole global community together, because the more people are able to have access to infrastructure and things to help them communicate, things to help them connect with other people around the world, the easier it is for us to achieve globalization in the long run. I'm moving on to the next headline. Mara partners with NHTSA to train 500,000 government employees on blockchain technology.
Mara, through the Mara Foundation, in partnership with Circle and the National Information Training Development Agency, that is NITDA, or NHTSA, are launching an initiative to train 500,000 government employees mainly in blockchain technology. And the hope with that is that it will drive innovation and economic growth in Nigeria's digital age, or the digital period. The first training was on the 1st of June, and it was a milestone of collaborative effort. It focused on the role of this blockchain industry in strengthening Nigeria's digital economy and on policymaking and regulation for the blockchain industry. The deputy manager of the software unit in the IT Infrastructure Solutions Department at NITDA, Aishatu Yayaga Umar, said, and I quote, "Mara, as one of the blockchain stakeholders in Nigeria, through this initiative have proven to be a great supporter of driving the Nigerian digital economy agenda, and we at NITDA are excited to be partners and beneficiaries. We're convinced that by collaborating with government and other stakeholders within the space, the full adoption of blockchain technology in Nigeria is not too far-fetched," end quote. This collaboration is geared towards empowering the workforce in Nigeria to serve as a catalyst for innovation and to establish better regulations. Ultimately, this is potentially a step towards placing Nigeria in a position of being a continental leader, and more so perhaps an inspiration. I think this is phenomenal. Any form of training in whatever form it is being held, as long as, you know, the information being disseminated is the correct kind of information, which tends to be one of the bigger problems. You know, you can have multiple people. I can set up shop right now and say, I can train you. But in what, right? Am I actually qualified to give you that, you know, the skill set that I'm claiming I can give you? So as long as the information that they were being given is legitimate, is well-informed and thoroughly researched, I think this is a great, great thing. 500,000 is not a small number. You know, 500,000 government employees is an insane number, because these are the people that a lot of people, you know, reach first. These are front-facing people that a lot of us perhaps will go to when we're seeking guidance or we're seeking certain services. So kudos to the Mara Foundation, to Circle, and the National Information Training Development Agency in Nigeria for this particular move. Moving on to our next headline, Binance operations in Nigeria are allegedly illegal, and this is according to Nigeria's SEC.
According to a statement by the Nigerian Securities Exchange Commission, Binance Nigeria is not registered or regulated by the SEC and is therefore operating illegally. This notice comes just after the US SEC sued Binance US on alleged claims of operating an illegal securities exchange, and after that, the Nigerian government passed a 10% tax law on digital assets, which includes cryptocurrencies and NFTs. Now, the SEC states, and I quote, "By this circular, Binance Nigeria Limited is hereby directed to immediately stop soliciting Nigerian investors in any form whatsoever. The circular does not tell Binance Nigeria to stop operations. The focus seems to be more on the solicitation of Nigerian retail investors, particularly with the billboards and online advertisements currently present in Nigeria. The Nigerian government hopes that this will instill a sense of confidence in the regulatory efforts being made within the space and potentially get all other crypto players to tighten up their businesses." But to be honest, I don't know what to say about this. I know that up till now, the Nigerian government has still not released a particular framework to allow, you know, companies in the blockchain space register and be regulated. The SEC has said time and time again that they're still working on that. So I feel like before you start to impose bans or penalties on firms that haven't registered with the SEC, it's best for you to also make known to the public that the framework by which these companies can be legally registered with the SEC has not been completed. Now, it's very obvious that whatever metrics they currently have for working with companies or registering companies, possibly, definitely only favors traditional companies, not companies in the Web3 or blockchain technology space. And I feel like that's something they also have to work on. So before they go ahead to criticize companies in the blockchain space for not, you know, registering their businesses or doing, in quote, illegal operations, I feel like the SEC should also check itself to be sure that it's in line and it's doing everything it can to make it possible. Moving on to the next headline, crypto and others, most in-demand investment in South Africa.
By others, we mean alternative. Now, according to a survey by Geltic, which is an alternative investment fund manager with over 1.6 billion rand or 85 million US dollars on its roster, says that more South Africans are turning to alternative investments such as private equity, solar and crypto, amongst other things. John T. Sachs of Geltic says, and I quote, "The popularity of these investments stems from various factors, including the desire for diversification, the potential for higher returns, and the opportunity to invest in financial assets that are not correlated with traditional markets. Consequently, 79% of investors plan to increase their allocation to alternatives," end quote. It's not surprising, truly. Now, according to the survey, crypto is the most popular, making up 27% of all portfolios, while private equity is the second most popular with 12%, followed shortly after by renewable solar energy at 11% of most portfolios. Now, none of these are surprising, as I mentioned, as South Africa is currently experiencing constant power outages, or known as load shedding, and the rand has, of course, hit new lows in response to the hiking of interest rates, the highest they have been so far in 14 years. Other findings are that 69% of investors allocate between 1 and 10% of their portfolios to more alternative investments, while 64% of the individuals who participated in the survey invest in alternative investments of their own volition. Geltic does, however, state that access or lack thereof to information and therefore ensuring that more financial investors have the licenses they need could either hinder or help the growth of the alternative investment industry, depending how you look at it. I say all in all, these numbers are not surprising. I did think, though, that investment in solar energy would be much higher than, say, private equity, but I guess it makes sense. I guess it does make sense because a lot of people have had to find ways to live with the current load shedding or the power outages that seem to be plaguing the country on a constant basis. But I am very curious to know what those numbers would be on a broader scale in terms of more on a continental perspective. I'm curious to see perhaps also by region if certain regions are more inclined to invest in private equity or solar or crypto or other things as well, because the list does go on and on in terms of how people do split their portfolios. But that is perhaps some inspiration for someone to do a bit of a report there sometime in the near future. Moving on to the next headline for this week, Kenya's Web3 Clubs graduates 15 Ethereum smart contract developers.
In March 2023, 20 developers were admitted into the second cohort of Web3 Clubs, where they were to learn how to build decentralized applications, or what a lot of people know as dApps, on Ethereum. Now, the first cohort was on the Near protocol and had over 30 developer graduates. This cohort was the first in Kenya, and it saw 15 out of the 20 developers graduate, four of whom were female. The developers were involved in 28 hours of boot camps and 90 hours of programming in a space of 3 months. That is a lot of learning hours. Now, Web3 Clubs hopes out of this cohort will come developers who can help shift the growth of the continent within this space forward, that they will be able to innovate and develop dApps that solve real-world problems from an African perspective. Artsy, which is an NFT marketplace developed by Esther, and Kwame, which is a blockchain-based decentralized crowdfunding platform developed by Cindy Kamau, were both developed by students of the program. I think I've definitely heard about Artsy, and I think it's a really fun project. I think I probably came across it a couple weeks ago, and I had no idea that those people who created these projects were from Web3 Clubs. And I feel like we definitely need more and more of these sort of initiatives. I mean, a lot of people are definitely willing to learn about, you know, smart contract development and building decentralized applications on Ethereum or Polygon or somewhere else, but they're lost and they probably have nobody to show them how to go about it. So I feel like the more we have cohorts like this that attempt to train people and show people the way to go in getting their footing in the blockchain technology space, the easier it will be for us to have more able hands on deck that will be available to build and to grow the space. Moving on to the last but not least headline for the week. Saudi-based blockchain company IR4 Labs expands its operations to Africa.
IR4 Lab, which is a renowned technology company born from the passion of new technologies such as blockchain, AI, and IoT, has made an announcement about the expansion of its business operations to Africa. The expansion is a component of IR4 Labs' dedication to the African continent and their goal to promote deep technology innovation and develop use cases leveraging IR4 Labs' blockchain solution, DocCert, as well as other solutions provided. In a statement by the CTO and co-founder Mohamed El Khandri, and I quote, "We are proud to be expanding into the African market. We believe that Africa's digital economy will grow and we want to be part of this growth in innovation and digitization, but also building local capabilities right from Morocco to Africa." I'd just like to remind listeners that Morocco is in Africa, but that is neither here nor there. Additionally, Ajid Al-Afifi, the CEO and co-founder of IR4 Lab, says, and I quote, "More and more blockchain entities are setting up base in Africa, but we're glad that IR4 Lab will be the first from Saudi Arabia to do this with the support of our leadership," end quote. Africa's young population, the use of smartphones and internet penetration should help the continent's digital economy reach around $712 billion. $712 billion by 2050. The Saudi-based blockchain company is one of the many organizations that is expanding into Africa and is optimistic about the vast potential of the African continent. I'm still hung up on those numbers. I think, you know, once again, this is a reminder that the continent has so much potential and all it takes is simply investing in the people. It means investing in, you know, the landscape, the space. We have the youngest population, as previously mentioned, and we're going to be this way for quite a bit of time. And this is due to, you know, the way things have been in the past history. You can't change that. You can't simply snap a finger and decide, no, the US is going to have the youngest population. Unless you do something really, really heinous, you cannot just change that at the drop of a dime. So this is to say, if you truly are watching the markets and you truly want something that works and you truly want to actually impart genuine change, I think investing in the African continent from a very positive perspective could go a long way. But also as Africans, we should be careful not to just accept any kind of investment just because it looks good. We should make sure to do our due diligence as much as we possibly can, because at the end of the day, there are leeches out there. People will do whatever it takes for them to, you know, prop up their portfolios and move things in whatever direction they feel serves their capitalistic dreams. So above all else, look out for yourselves. Let's all look out for ourselves as human beings before we can look out for ourselves as businessmen, because that's where, you know, the problems seem to end, or rather seem to start. All in all, I think today's headlines have been focusing a lot on infrastructure and access. And that is, you know, with the right infrastructure, you can do a lot. You can change a lot of lives. You can impart a lot of change. But of course, as I have mentioned a gazillion times, just a reminder that none of what we share here is financial advice. These are only the opinions of the individuals that make this show possible. You can always use the links in the show notes to do your own research. And if you haven't already, be sure to subscribe, maybe leave a rating on whatever platform you're listening from, or maybe share it with a friend if you prefer not to leave a rating. But otherwise, from myself and from the Bankless Africa team, until next time, remember to be relentless in your mission to be bankless.